This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Tonight, as we come on the air, we're tracking this new winter storm in the east and the south. States of emergency already in effect. 20 states on alert from Texas all the way up to Maine. Snow, ice, and frigid temperatures. This will affect Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and New York with bitter cold. A dangerous ice storm targeting the Carolinas. Major concerns tonight about possible widespread power outages. Rob Marciano standing by to time this out. President Biden tonight on damage control 24 hours after suggesting Vladimir Putin will make a move and saying a response could depend on the kind of incursion in Ukraine, that it's a possibility there could be a, quote, minor incursion. The president of Ukraine tonight saying there are no minor incursions. Stunned by what the president said. Mary Bruce standing by at the White House tonight. This evening, the Omicron variant in the U.S., what they're now seeing in this country. And this question tonight, how long has it been here in the U.S. and how they figured this out? Tonight, the January 6th committee now asking former President Trump's daughter, Ivanka Trump, for a voluntary interview about her time in the Oval Office as her father was putting pressure on former Vice President Pence and what she allegedly said in the Oval Office. And the new headline from Georgia tonight, the prosecutor there asking for a special grand jury after the election. Jonathan Carl standing by. News tonight about a passenger in first class forcing an American Airlines flight from Miami to London to suddenly turn around about 500 miles out after refusing to wear a mask. New developments tonight in the 5G wireless rollout, what we're now learning from the FAA. The 19-year-old pilot touching down and landing in the record books, the youngest woman to fly solo around the world. There is late news coming in tonight about Adele. And America Strong tonight, the mother who put it all on hold to raise the kids and to work. But she's back, and what a comeback. America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. We are tracking that new winter storm. Millions of Americans across several states from the south right up into the northeast now bracing for bitter cold, snow, and ice. And there are states of emergency in Virginia and the Carolinas already ahead of what they believe will be a dangerous ice storm. And Arctic wind chills from Minnesota all the way to the northeast. 20 states under winter weather alerts at this hour. Tonight, that bitter cold moving across the northern states, temperatures into a deep freeze already as that system moves across the south, a 1-2 punch there set to strike from the Carolinas up into Virginia. Heavy sleet and snow in Fayetteville, Arkansas already, triggering a dangerous commute. And look at this along the I-95 corridor tonight, crews out salting the roads. This is Bucks County, Pennsylvania, bracing for black ice to come after snow already today. And by tomorrow morning, the wind chill will be near zero in Philadelphia and New York, 4 below 0 in Boston. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano leading us off tonight, timing this all out for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. You said it right there. The cold's going to be the most debilitating, widespread element of all this, with over half the country seeing temperatures 15 to 30 degrees below average. Here are some of the numbers in the morning. You mentioned Boston and New York. Look at Pittsburgh, -1. It'll be 3 in Chicago. Feel like -1 in St. Louis and -24 in Des Moines. This sets the stage for icing across the south. First in South Texas tonight, where we have winter storm warnings posted from Brownsville up to Virginia Beach. We've got a couple of ways to develop along this front, tapping the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean, throwing that moisture over into the sub-freezing air. So significant icing in places like Myrtle Beach, like Wilmington, 2 to 6 inches of snow in Raleigh up through Norfolk and Virginia Beach. But it is the icing that we're most worried about in those areas. Could see a quarter to a half an inch of that. Not just dangerous driving, but we could see some power outages as well. David?
Yes, could be a dangerous 24 hours ahead. Be careful on the roadways. And Rob, our thanks to you as always. Meantime, tonight, President Biden and the White House in damage control mode after that marathon news conference and what he said on Russia, suggesting any response to Vladimir Putin depends on what he does along the border of Ukraine, suggesting one possibility is a, quote, minor incursion in Ukraine. The president of Ukraine stunned and quickly reacting, saying there is no such thing as a minor incursion. Here's our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, tonight.
At the White House today, President Biden tried to put out a firestorm of criticism after these comments about a possible Russian invasion of Ukraine sparked international concern.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, et cetera.
Early today, reading from a prepared statement, the president tried to clarify what he meant.
If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin. There is no doubt, let there be no doubt at all, that if Putin makes this choice, Russia will pay a heavy price.
The White House fully aware the president's comments triggered alarm among European allies and inside Ukraine, too. Ukrainian President Zelensky tweeting, "There are no minor incursions and small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones." Meeting with U.S. allies in Germany ahead of a critical sit-down with the Russians, Secretary of State Blinken tried to reassure America's partners.
If any Russian military forces move across the Ukrainian border and commit new acts of aggression against Ukraine, that will be met with a swift, severe, united response from the United States and our allies and partners.
Secretary Blinken today. Mary Bruce with us live from the White House tonight. And Mary, the White House also clarifying another one of the president's comments yesterday. He was asked whether the midterm elections, obviously this year, would be legitimate given Washington's failure to pass a voting rights law. His response, the two words he chose, it depends. There were a lot of questions over that. He seemed to question whether the elections will be legitimate before they even happen.
David, the president saying these restrictive new voting laws in some Republican-led states are going to make it more difficult for some Americans to vote. And he said that could increase the prospect that the vote will be illegitimate. The president saying he still is hoping that they can put in place reforms, but the White House today clarifying, saying the president is confident the midterms will be legitimate. David.
Mary Bruce at the White House again tonight. Thank you, Mary. Next this evening here, there is new evidence tonight suggesting the Omicron variant was here in the U.S. before the world knew it existed. Days before it was announced, it had been found in South Africa. And now new signs tonight that the Omicron surge is slowing across parts of the country, the East, where it was the epicenter at the beginning, and what they're seeing now. But authorities say hospitalizations still at a record high, and deaths, which always lag behind new case numbers, still at about 1,700 deaths a day. Nearly all of the deaths, health officials say, among those patients who are unvaccinated. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos on how long Omicron has been here and how they figured this out.
Tonight, new evidence suggests Omicron was in this country before the world learned of the new variant. A CDC study found traces of Omicron in New York City wastewater on November 21st, 4 days before the variant was announced by South African scientists and 10 days before the first U.S. case was reported.
By sampling in wastewater, you can detect virus in huge populations. If we can identify a variant faster, we can respond more quickly and make sure that we reduce transmission in the community.
Infections in New York City have dropped 46% in the last week, but the city still has the nation's highest death rate because deaths and hospitalizations always lag behind cases.
I do think we are past the peak of the Omicron surge, but just because we're past the peak does not mean we're done. We have several weeks to go before the infection numbers really get low.
1,700 Americans with COVID are still dying every day, the vast majority unvaccinated, like Angeline Saucedo, a 34-year-old mother of four in Oklahoma. Her mother says Angeline didn't know she had diabetes when she was hospitalized with COVID.
By day three of going to the ER for 3 days, my daughter was gone.
The family had put off getting the vaccine, but Angeline's death has pushed them to get the shot.
You're scared to get vaccinated, so am I. You know, I still haven't got vaccinated, but just that happening actually makes me want to do it.
Tonight, New Jersey's governor is warning healthcare workers they could lose their jobs if they are not vaccinated and boosted.
We are no longer going to look past those who continue to put their colleagues, and perhaps, I think even more importantly, those who are their responsibility in danger of COVID. That has to stop.
Across this country, hospitals are struggling to care for 160,000 people with COVID. Nurses inside this Pennsylvania hospital say they are drowning in patients.
We're seeing 20, 30, 40-year-olds that are ending up very sick and dying. And they don't have the conditions that some of these older people have.
This quote, Stephanie, with us now tonight, and there's new research at this hour looking at, I know, patients who were given the vaccine, those who thought they were getting the vaccine, and those who actually got a placebo instead. And this was meant to study potential side effects.
Exactly, David. So researchers looked at 12 vaccine safety trials with thousands of people and found that two-thirds of volunteers who got the placebo reported things like a headache and fatigue, suggesting that those relatively mild side effects widely reported from the COVID vaccine might not be as common as people may expect. David.
Stephanie Ramos with us tonight. Stephanie, thank you. Next this evening, the House Committee on the January 6th riot has now asked Ivanka Trump to cooperate with their investigation. In an 11-page letter, the committee outlining their questions for the former president's daughter about the former president's actions or inaction, they say, before, during, and after the attack on the Capitol. In particular, they want to know more about a conversation the former president had with the vice president, Mike Pence, on the phone. Ivanka Trump was right there in the Oval Office when it took place. Here's our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
The January 6th committee is asking to speak to former President Trump's daughter and top advisor Ivanka Trump, seen here backstage at the rally outside the White House shortly before the attack on the Capitol. In his speech at that rally, Trump repeatedly called on Vice President Pence to use his position presiding over the counting of electoral votes to overturn the election.
And I hope Mike is going to do the right thing. I hope so.
The committee says Ivanka Trump was in the Oval Office that morning when her father had a heated phone conversation with Pence. I spoke to Trump about that call for my book, Betrayal.
There was a report, and excuse my language, not mine, it was in the report, that you talked to him that morning and you said you could be a patriot or you can be a Did you really say that, or is that a incorrect?
I wouldn't dispute it.
Really?
I wouldn't dispute it.
Also in the room at that time, Trump loyalist retired General Keith Kellogg, who told the committee Ivanka Trump turned to him and said, quote, Mike Pence is a good man. Kellogg testified that when Trump supporters attacked the Capitol, Ivanka Trump repeatedly urged her father to speak out.
We have firsthand testimony that his daughter Ivanka went in at least twice to ask him to please stop this violence.
Today, a spokesperson for Ivanka Trump declined to say whether she would testify, instead referring to a portion of a tweet she posted on January 6th during the riot, saying, quote, any security breach or disrespect to our law enforcement is unacceptable. The violence must stop immediately. Please be peaceful. What her spokesperson didn't mention is that in that same tweet, Ivanka Trump addressed the rioters as, quote, American patriots.
All right, so let's bring in John Carl live from Washington tonight. And John, of course, there's a big new development in Georgia as well you're following. The prosecutor there asking a judge now to convene a special grand jury after the election to investigate former President Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 results there. The former president, as we remember, had pressured the Secretary of State in Georgia, telling him, I just want to find 11,780 votes. What does this request for a special grand jury mean?
Well, this special grand jury, David, gives prosecutors in Georgia a powerful new tool in their criminal investigation into Trump's efforts to overturn the election results in that state. It enables them to issue subpoenas to compel the testimony of witnesses who until now have refused to cooperate voluntarily.
All right, Jonathan Carl with us again tonight. John, thank you as always. Tonight we have learned that a flight from Miami to London was forced to turn back to the airport 2 hours into the flight because of an unruly passenger in first class who refused to wear a mask. The American Airlines flight had 129 passengers on board, 14 crew members. The track showing the plane turned around about 500 miles out to come back. The flight then canceled. The passengers had to rebook. The airline saying local law enforcement met the passenger when the plane returned to the Miami airport. There are also new developments in the 5G rollout and the concern that the new cell phone signal and technology could interfere with airplanes at some airports here in the U.S. Tonight, the FAA now issuing new approvals from some airplanes to land in low visibility conditions using the current technology on those planes. ABC's Gio Benitez again tonight covering aviation.
Tonight, new progress in the standoff over more powerful 5G signals near airports that airline and air cargo CEOs have warned could lead to catastrophic travel and shipping disruptions. The FAA now clearing nearly 80% of all commercial jets to land in low visibility with current 5G limits in place, including many of the most commonly used Boeing and Airbus airliners like the 737 and A320. The move coming just 48 hours after AT&T and Verizon agreed to keep their upgraded signals 2 miles away from major airports.
This is just a Band-Aid fix. The FAA needs to come up with a permanent solution.
The standoff over concerns that stronger 5G signals could interfere with a plane's radio altimeter, the device pilots use to measure altitude during landings, especially in bad weather with low visibility. Airlines and the FAA have said more safety tests are needed. But the FCC, which regulates 5G, has claimed the service poses no risk to aviation. The FAA is still working on clearing about 20% of plane models, mostly smaller regional jets that make up nearly half of all flights in America.
The fact that we had good weather yesterday was very good for those passengers traveling, but we can't count on that going forward.
And David, tonight international flights are back up and running after much confusion, and talks over that 5G rollout are ongoing. David.
Gio Benitez, our thanks to you again tonight, Gio. And there is also news this evening about a deadly police shooting near the airport in San Francisco. Police responding to a call of a man carrying two guns near a train station at the airport. Officers saying they tried to de-escalate the situation. The suspect allegedly threatening them. The officers opening fire when they say he kept advancing toward them. Train service was temporarily suspended. The airport was not affected. When we come back here tonight, what Ghislaine Maxwell's attorneys have now requested, will they be successful? And there is news tonight about an FBI raid at the home of a well-known congressman.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Tonight, Jeffrey Epstein's former associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, has officially requested a new trial. Maxwell convicted of sex trafficking charges here in New York less than a month ago now. Her attorneys want a new trial after a jury member gave interviews following the verdict, revealing he had been sexually abused as a child and claiming his story helped influence other jurors. A source says he did not disclose his personal history in a pretrial questionnaire. Maxwell is scheduled to be sentenced in June. She faces up to 65 years in prison. And questions surrounding the FBI raid at the home of a U.S. congressman in Laredo, Texas. Federal agents searching the home of Congressman Henry Cuellar 24 hours ago. Authorities taking items out of the house. Tonight, the FBI confirming it was a, quote, court-authorized operation. Still no word what they're investigating. Cuellar insisting he is cooperating with authorities. When we come back here tonight, there's news coming in involving Adele this evening and the 19-year-old pilot now landing in the record books. To the index tonight in your health and a new study on alcohol, the World Heart Federation saying no amount of moderate drinking will lower your risk of heart disease. The group reports that alcohol-related deaths are on the rise worldwide. News involving Adele tonight postponing her new residency in Las Vegas on the eve of what was supposed to be opening night for her. In an emotional video posted late today, she apologizes and says the show's just not ready due to delays, adding half the crew has COVID. She says all dates will be rescheduled soon. And flying into the record books tonight, 19-year-old British-Belgian pilot Zara Rutherford setting the world record as the youngest woman to fly solo around the world. This was something. She landed in Belgium today, 155 days after first taking off. She stopped on five continents and visited 41 countries along the way. When we come back tonight, like so many other mothers, this mom who worked and raised the kids, but there was always something she wanted to get back to, and she did. Finally tonight here, so many moms across this country working and raising children, so often forced to temporarily put dreams on hold. Tonight here, the mom who decided it was time. Tonight in Richmond, Virginia, the mother of two who wants you to know it's never too late. And what she's now done, America strong. 37-year-old Kira D'Amato started running at 13 years old. She ran in high school and college and then stopped after an ankle injury. She would later get her job and then raise a family. But it was after her second child was born, she decided, I want to run again. Slowly getting her speed back, her stride back, starting to compete again. And then just days ago, competing in the Houston Marathon.
Go! Go, Kira!
And this is the moment.
Kira
crossing the finish line, 2 hours, 19 minutes, 12 seconds, beating the previous record by 24 seconds, breaking the American record in the women's marathon. Her children waiting for her. Right here tonight.
Hi, David.
Kira, on that moment, crossing the finish line, her children waiting for her.
It was just a roller coaster of emotions crossing that finish line. And then I saw my kids and I just lost it. I had a decade where I was just a fan of running and I sat there watching, just thinking like, what if I hadn't stopped? What if I had kept going? What if I just gave a little bit more? And I finally found the answer to that what if.
Tonight, Kira and her hope.
To all of you out there that have your what if, I guess my message to you is, you know, I'll share some of my courage with you and hopefully you guys can find a way to go find what if.
In fact, she's now setting her sights on the Summer Olympics 2024.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. It feels just totally crazy that you invited me on, but I'm happy to be here. And good night, everybody.
We're cheering you on, Kira, right along with your kids. We hope to see you at the Olympics. I'm David Muir. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow. In the meantime, until then, good night.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.